Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good evening, Philadelphia, and welcome into Bud Light Baseball Brunch, brought to you by Green Legion Radio here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. And right now, it might be baseball brunch, but it's more like a baseball happy hour if you're listening to us on Friday evenings now instead of Sunday. Yes, for the second straight season, we have been uprooted during a playoff chase of your Philadelphia Phillies for the Philadelphia Eagles and the rest of the NFL. So I would like to say to the NFL and to the Philadelphia Eagles, although I do love you, I hate you for the simple fact that we get moved from our normal time slot on Sundays, which I will take up with management during the off season. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio. I am in Maple Shade, New Jersey, hanging out in my living room, and I'm not sitting alongside my esteemed colleague, Greg Murphy, who is at the ballpark, and it kind of looks like he's doing this broadcast during the game because I can't really tell the difference between the attendance and the ballpark being empty after Thursday night's game. Murph, how are we doing this evening?
Not too bad. It was a tough loss on Thursday night, for sure. Actually, not a bad crowd here tonight, a little over 20,000 here at the ballpark. But they were disappointed when they left, obviously, because the Phillies let one slip away. And but you know what? They won the series. Try to look at the positives there. They certainly had a chance to sweep. You know, you have another chance to win a game that Sandy Alcantara starts. That would have been their fourth out of five this year. That would have been really impressive. And it was right there for the taking. That's what's frustrating about it. But we'll get into all of that. All in all, Philly's playing better baseball since they've been back home. That's good to see. I think they still need to kick it up another notch when the Nationals come into town. Certainly you need to win at least two out of three of the games over the course of the weekend. So hopefully they do. The Milwaukee Brewers won a couple on Thursday night, so they closed the gap a little bit with the Phils. And you know, things aren't over yet. You got to keep playing some good baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. They have to get the train back on the tracks here a little bit. It just seems like everything has become inconsistent over the last couple weeks since that Pirates game. Since the last time we were together at Xfinity Live, you know, nothing has seemed to click. And we're going to dive in and we're going to get a little bit more into the details. We've had some injuries over the last couple weeks as well that haven't helped the Phillies in certain aspects of those games. But that West Coast trip was just completely abysmal. We'll dive further into that for sure, because this first segment is brought to you by State Farm. Just your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. You can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right. Good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Avuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Avuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. That's 856-740-5012. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. This week, we're going to give you guys a break from our ticket giveaway, just for the simple fact of when we are on air, when we're actually recording. Wasn't sure if we're going to get enough of a following at this point when we're recording on Thursday night for our Friday show. Thanks Slash for chopping us up on Friday for us to get in the system for Friday night. And thank you to Sam, who is writing down all the times throughout the course of the segments for Slash to be able to do so on Friday. We really appreciate the hard work and the efforts that you two have given us all season long, in particular down the stretch here at the end of the season. Murph, we were just discussing, because now we're going to go out of the box here, and we've kind of alluded to what's been going on over the last couple of weeks since the last time we've been together. Phillies had a horrendous road trip out west, going 1-5 through Arizona and San Francisco. They bounced back the first couple games against the Marlins, but we let one slip away on Thursday evening. Now we're a half game behind the Padres for the second wild card spot. Now, I've said it all along, if we could be in that spot. Now, be careful what you wish for, I guess you would say, because the Cardinals are one of the hottest teams in baseball, in particular since the trade deadline when they made their moves for Montgomery and Quintana. But to avoid either the Mets or the Braves, who have been more steady over the course of the season, I think we would both kind of pick that poison. But beggars can't be choosers. I don't care how you get in. You just got to get in. But now the Brewers are 2.5 games behind the Phillies heading into this weekend. And yeah, we're seeing the Washington Nationals, and then we see the Marlins next week. But the Braves, we got to go to Atlanta next weekend, and it doesn't get any easier from there. The Phillies really need to pick themselves back up off the mat here after that West Coast trip and blowing that game on Thursday night, and really have to establish themselves and figure this out defensively, offensively, starting pitching, bullpen. It's all falling apart over the last couple weeks, and they need to get that train back on the tracks.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as saying falling apart. I it's been a struggle. The wheels are shaking a little bit for sure. But again, if we take a step back and look at big picture, every team that you just mentioned, the Cardinals, the Brewers, the Padres, with the exception of Atlanta, the New York Mets, certainly the New York Yankees, you could throw them in the mix. You know, all of those teams are going to be in the postseason, or most of them. And all of them have gone through stretches like this where their fans are running for the tallest buildings and the bridges and wondering what's going wrong. The Phillies are going through a tough period right now. I don't think it was unexpected what we saw out West. It was unfortunate. It was disappointing. But going into that series, I mean, you and I talked about it before we hit the road last week. That was going to be a tricky series. Arizona's always a tough place to play for the Phillies. But for most National League teams, there's no energy there. It's dark. It's dank. The Diamondbacks are a good team. They're not a great team, but they have their moments. And the Phils fell into that trap. And then the Giants, it steamrolled on them in the Giants series. And, you'd like to have seen them win 3 out of 6. We would have accepted 2 out of 4 and kind of said, we gave one away. It ends up being 1 and 5. The difference of 2 games feels like a million, but it's 2 games. So you do have to try and keep that in perspective. The bullpen right now, yeah, they need to shore it up. Sir Anthony Dominguez threw a rehab assignment Thursday night in the Lehigh Valley. By all accounts, it went well. He walked the first 2 batters, got the command, struck out a couple, no runs, no hits. Velocity was up in the high 90s to the low 100s. That is certainly good to see. Whether or not he's back this weekend remains to be seen, but it wouldn't shock me if Sir Anthony Dominguez. And then, that kind of settles things back into a more traditional role, the way we've seen this bullpen. You'll have Sir Anthony at the back. Then, then before that, you'll have David Robertson. And then before that, you'll have Connor Brogdon or Sam Coonrod or Brad Hand. And that's where the success was really happening for this bullpen when it was set up like that. So that's something we have to keep in mind. They're right without Corey Knebel too, and they have been for a couple weeks. But again, it's a loss. The offense, they're going to be fine. They seem to have righted the ship. They're not getting production out of their big guys right now, but they're getting production in the back end of the lineup. And we saw that earlier in the season, and they won a lot of games doing it that way. So the starting pitching also a little bit of a concern for sure. You need Noah Syndergaard to come out tomorrow and be the Noah Syndergaard he was when he arrived in Philly, not the one we saw the last 2 times, right? And the same can be said about Kyle. He's struggling right now. I think Ranger and Aaron, they'll be fine. Bailey Falter's been good. So it's a mixed bag right now, and that's what we're seeing. And we're seeing wins. We're seeing losses. You'd really love to see them go on a little bit of a streak right now, but it's not the sky is falling yet, I don't think. But they need to play better.
Murph, David Robertson in particular on Thursday night when he let that game go, and I know he wasn't helped a lot out with certain circumstances, especially Reese's 2-base error when he lifted his glove too soon. He was thinking about tagging the base runner and maybe perhaps trying to hold the runner at second base on that play. But all accounts from what I was reading on Twitter and from what I was noticing too, it looked like his velocity was a little bit down. And I know like they tried getting him through 2 innings against San Francisco when he gave up the walk-off home run to Wilmer Flores. He threw a bunch of pitches, I believe, on Tuesday night. He was unavailable on Wednesday night, and he threw about another 20, 25 pitches on Thursday night. He's been getting used a lot since Sir Anthony went on the injured list, yeah. And as he should be, especially a guy that's being depended on to close all the games instead of maybe half the games or 25% of the games. But he's throwing a lot of pitches, and for a guy that's in his upper, in his late 30s, here I am in my late 30s. I can't call people kids anymore in baseball, or I can't call them old. I am old, if I guess I'm going to put it in that context, but he's not a spring chicken anymore, and the guy's coming off of Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago. Rob Thompson has been able to press a lot of the right buttons since he's taken over as interim manager. It's just lately I think he's been using a little bit too much for Robertson and not having him protected on the back end with maybe having somebody warming up in the bullpen, but you kind of go with what brung you, right?
Well, yes, and quite frankly, Rob Thompson was asked about that on Thursday night in his post-game press conference. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, hey, it was the only button I had to push tonight. He had four guys that were unavailable in the bullpen.
Yeah, Brogdon, Bilotti, and Alvarado.
Yeah.
Who was the fourth guy?
I don't know. Coonrod, maybe? I don't know. I'd have to go back and listen.
Well, Coonrod pitched in the eighth. So.
Okay, yeah. So off the top of my head, I can't remember the fourth, but he rattled off a list of guys that were unavailable.
Right.
And he said, look, there was one scenario that we were going to use David Robertson tonight. It's the only scenario that we were going to put him out there, and the scenario happened. And so they put him out there, and that's why. And so to your point, yeah, ideally you're staying away from David Robertson tonight. Ideally you're giving him extra time because I do think he is tired. His velocity was down a tick. He has been used a lot. But you go, if, let's say they put in somebody else and the game gets blown, you can bet the naysayers are going to say, well, why didn't you use David Robertson? He can't pitch 2 days in a row. And it's like, so you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't if you're Rob Thompson.
Right.
The inning is completely different if Reese makes that play. And unfortunately, he didn't. The Phils were back in this game because of an error by their center fielder. Physical errors in baseball happen. And it happened at the worst time for the Phils on Thursday night. And Reese Hoskins will be the first to tell you he needs to make that play. And if he does make that play, maybe we're not talking about a loss. Maybe we're talking about an extra inning kind of game. So unfortunate, but yeah, I think David Robertson needs a blow, and but until they get Sir Anthony back, they're gonna have to lean on him a little bit. So.
Now, we already touched on as far as injuries are concerned, we touched on Sir Anthony, and there's an outside shot where we might see him back at Citizens Bank Park this weekend against the Nationals. More realistically, I'm probably gonna say we're gonna see him on the road trip through Miami and Atlanta. I think they're probably gonna play it safe with him, probably have him do another rehab outing on Saturday, kind of see where he's at, but hopefully he'll be back here on Saturday at Citizens Bank Park. It would be nice to see him there. Zach Eflin is set to pitch on Friday at Lehigh Valley. It's not going to be a long type thing. He's going to start the game, but he's doing two innings is what we're looking at there. Yeah. Now, are they looking at when he comes back, is he going to be more of a long reliever out of the bullpen? I'm hearing things like where they might piggyback him along with Ranger Suarez, who's approaching his career high in innings pitched right now. Because he doesn't seem like he can trudge past the fourth inning right now. I know he threw 5 2/3 of a few starts ago, but he's been hitting that wall. And I've heard they're thinking about trying to maybe mix and match, if they're a right-handed heavy lineup, maybe starting Eflin and then go on with Ranger, after the first couple innings that Eflin pitches and then kind of doing vice versa. What's your opinion on that? What's your thought?
Well, that's exactly what they're talking about. So I think we're going to see him in both those roles. So tonight in the Lehigh Valley, Friday night in the Lehigh Valley, he is going to start the game. But interestingly enough, he is not going to go through his starter's routine, which normally starts about 30 minutes before a starting pitcher takes the field. Takes the mound. They go out on the field. They toss, then they long toss. Then they get up in the bullpen. They throw their pitches. Then they come in and they start the game. Zach Eflin's not going to do that. He is going to, about 8 or 9 minutes before the game starts, get into the bullpen and warm up as if he was coming in relief. And then he will start the game. The first inning, he will pitch. He'll sit down. He'll come back out for the second inning. And then presumably he will be done after that, provided the pitch count isn't too high and they need to pull him ahead of time. But so they want to see how he reacts in that short warm-up slash two-inning kind of role for the very reason you just said. He will pitch out of the bullpen, whether it be longer relief or as an opener to Ranger Suarez or as a backup to Ranger Suarez, who would open the game, depending on the lineup, as you pointed out. That is the thought process for where Zach Eflin will contribute here in September. It's, you know, it's the best case scenario because they can't get him stretched back out as a starter. So he can, I mean, if you think about a Ranger Zach, you know, starting two-headed monster every 5 days, there are worse things in the world over the last 3 weeks of the season to get those two guys pitching four, six, seven innings combined to get you a win. So, yeah, that's what they're thinking.
I actually, to be honest with you, I'm just happy that he's back. You know, because when Eflin's on, he's one of your best pitchers, regardless if it's your starting pitcher or your bullpen. When was the last time Eflin has ever come out of a bullpen, though? Is that something that's been discussed? Has anybody asked him that question? When was the last time you actually came out of the bullpen? Because, you know, we know that's a different mentality. I mean, it's definitely a different mentality when you're coming out and you're throwing in the ninth inning. We've seen that over the years with many different guys that have tried to do it, and many have failed, and few have been successful at it. But for Zach Eflin to come out of the bullpen and have to go through that routine, is this something that, you know, has anybody asked him this question? Like, you know, can you remember the last time you did this? Was it college? Was it high school? When was the last time you did it?
I can't remember, and it's not a question I've asked him, so I don't have the answer to that. Obviously, pretty easy to look up, if I had the resources right in front of me. But you know, for
I should have sent you that run sheet earlier.
Yeah. For Zach, I would say – you know, certainly if he's going to do the opener's role, then that's kind of, you know, that's what he's used to.
Yeah, it's old hat.
Yeah. I think when you're coming in at a third or fourth inning, if you're coming in a clean situation, you know, he's not coming in with guys on first and second and one out kind of thing. He's going to start an inning, and he's going to probably pitch two or three innings and then be done. I think for the most part, after that first or second pitch, it's not going to matter so much. So I don't know that it's as big of an adjustment in this particular role as it would be if you were just saying, hey, you're going to be in the bullpen, might use you in the seventh, eighth, might you, you know, and you don't really know what your role is. He's going to know for the most part when he's going to pitch. And so I don't think it'll be as big of an adjustment as it might be for a different situation.
Okay, what's the update on Zach Wheeler? I know he threw the other day. It sounded like things came out good. I think I saw a report on there that he was looking to pitch that day. I just didn't know if someone was trying to mix up him with Zach Eflin because it looked like they were going to be throwing on the same day. But it seems like there's some good news on that forefront. So where are we at as far as maybe getting Zach Wheeler back and then booting one of these guys out of the rotation, not named Bailey Falter, who's 11-2 when he pitches for the Phillies this year since April 16th. So it's a fantastic stat. I'll keep him in the rotation. But yeah, Zach Wheeler.
It'll be interesting to see who gets the nod to slide back either into the bullpen or get optioned down. But Zach Wheeler threw again today. I think he threw from 90 feet today. The plan is 120 tomorrow. And then he would get up on the mound after that. It's still unclear whether or not he'll need a rehab start. It hasn't been that long that perhaps once he starts feeling good, he'll throw a bullpen here, like his normal bullpen before a start, 2 days before a start, and then they'll be able to start him. Or if he's going to need at least one game facing live hitters, live pitching down at the Lehigh Valley. So that remains to be seen. But he's getting closer. If I had to bet, probably don't see him on the next road trip or maybe at the end of the next road trip. But certainly I think by the time the Phillies get back here, Zach Wheeler will be back in the rotation in time to make, two or three final starts for the team.
Okay, and real quick before I do a live read and we go to break, Nick Castellanos, he has the oblique strain. They put him on the injured list. Is there any optimism? Is this I don't know what grades are like with oblique strains. Like, you know, we've seen it, Cliff Lee in previous years. I think Shane Victorino had it in previous years. Max Scherzer's dealt with it a couple times this year. Is there any, like, you know, is it a low grade? Is it a high grade? Like, how would you? Yeah. So what are they saying about that?
Low grade, very minor. They're the terms that are being used. When I talked to Nick the day he got the MRI, he said, I don't think it's anything serious at all. He said, but they, you know, they just want to check it out. He went through some drills today. He was running on the field. He was throwing. He was catching. He hasn't swung yet, but that's the next step for him to take some swings. He's progressing fine. Whether or not he's active the day he's eligible, which I believe would be another 5 or 6 days from now, it remains to be seen. But they do, the optimism is very high that if it's not that day, it's soon thereafter he'll be back and ready to go.
Good, because we need him back. We need as much depth in this lineup as we can possibly get, because nobody does it like Premier Window. They have plenty of depth in what they provide with their cleaning services. They're the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. Over 30 years experience, they offer commercial, residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. Coming up in our next segment, I'm going to ask Murph about what the concern level looks like on Bryce Harper right now since his return from the injured list. And I'm going to take the Phillies fans to task for their lack of support currently through this homestand right here, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back right after this.
Join Bird star linebacker TJ Edwards for the Fox Sports All-Pro Philly Show this Monday night at 7 at Chickies and Pizza Marlton.
Jump into the thrill this summer at the all-new Bally's Atlantic City, offering new slots, new rooms, starting at $129. New restaurant.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Here for our second segment on this Friday evening. Hopefully the Phillies have an early lead here on this beautiful Friday night, because I can't wait to be at the ballpark on Friday. It's a shame Murph isn't going to be over there, but he's got better things to be doing on a Friday than hanging out and slumming it at the ballpark in South Philadelphia. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But you know what? If you want to hang out and slum, you got a couple weeks left before the weather starts to turn to fall. Get over here and check out our friends at the Ludlam Bar and Grill. What an awesome spot. We had a great show there back in July. The La Casa Lemonade is fantastic. It's delicious. You will not be disappointed. I'm sure you can hang out there, especially at the Ludlam Hotel. You can hang out over there at 4000 Landis Avenue all year long. Make sure you get down there and check them out. All guests enjoy free Wi-Fi, one free parking spot per room, and complimentary beach tags for all registered adults for at least the next couple weeks, because technically summer does not end for a couple more weeks. Check out their website at ludlamhotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, hotel.com, or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Bar and Grill, your new oasis in Seattle City, Sam's Stomping Grounds. So I teased it going in the break here, and just, you know, I know Murph had shown me what his level of concern is with Bryce Harper, but I saw it on Wednesday night when he took a swing in the later innings. I think it was like the sixth, seventh inning, and he kind of pulled up, and I believe Robin Thompson said after the game it was a stinger. It was nothing to be concerned about. He did DH on Thursday evening, but like we said and you said at the beginning of the show, right now, they're getting all their production pretty much from the bottom part of their order. Guys like Bryson Stott and then Mundo Sosa and Matt Vierling, guys like that are stepping up to the forefront, while the guys at the top of the lineup right now are kind of not doing what we had them doing prior to the road trip. Alec Bohm and Rhys Hoskins and all those guys that were hitting so well prior to that. And Murph's getting kicked out of the radio booth right now.
That's right. They're going to close up the windows. Give him a minute. Go ahead.
No, but with Bryce being back, I just feel like, you know, it's like those guys decided to step up during his absence. Now they're stepping back a little bit. I don't know if it's the pressure that they're feeling because Bryce is back, or maybe they're feeling lax because Bryce is back, or just everybody's going into a funk at the same time. But even Bryce has kind of struggled over the last week and a half. He hasn't hit a home run since he's come off the injured list yet. Your level of concern with Bryce Harper heading down the stretch here?
Yeah, so I showed it to you here on StreamYard, and now I'll tell it to you. My level of concern is 0%.
and rising to maybe 1%. First of all, injuries not an issue. I think what Rob Thompson said the other night, not a stinger, because when I think of stinger, I think neck.
So do I. Michael Barkan, yeah. I wasn't watching post-game live, but Barkan, I follow him on Twitter, and he put stinger, he's okay.
I think stinger was wrong. I think he said zinger.
Zinger, okay. All right.
And he kind of pointed that it was like almost like when you hit your funny bone in your elbow. That's what it was akin to. And so, okay, you know, he'll be fine in that regard. He's had two games where he looked a little overmatched. He had a couple of strikeouts on Friday night. but that, you know, again, I know it's a cliche, but that's baseball. You know, the best players in the world are going to go 0 for 15, 0 for 20. It's going to happen. That's four straight games without a hit. And that's Bryce is in a little spot like that. He could go 2 for 3 tomorrow and we would be done talking about it. There's no level of concern. As long as he is healthy, he is as dangerous of a player with a bat in his hand as anyone in baseball on any given night, in any count, in any inning, against any pitcher. So I don't worry about Bryce Harper as long as he's healthy. And this team will be just fine. You know, Kyle Schwarber, you know, he was getting a lot of hits over the course of the West Coast series, but not a whole lot of power, not a whole lot of production. I'd like to see that start to come back a little bit for him. Rhys Hoskins seems to be breaking out. He had 3 hits on Friday night. That's a good sign. So that top of the order, Alec Bohm's been red hot. So, you know, he's been just fine. But that top of the order, hopefully Schwarber can get that power stroke back and Harper will get his swing back. And it's against this Marlins team without getting much production from the top. That's a good sign.
Yeah. Now, Merv, there's so many perks and benefits of you being a part of this broadcast and being a part of this team and me and you being partners the last 2 seasons here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch. But one of the cool things about this season, and we've been talking about it throughout the course of the season, is how you get to be at all these ballparks and we kind of get to see what they're all about and you being on the road again and being with the team. Right now, the energy in the clubhouse, being around the guys, being on the plane on the way back from San Francisco, being around them the last few days. Obviously, you weren't around them after today's game. You jumped right on the post game, and then you hung out with me doing the show. What is going on right now within the confines of the clubhouse with the guys? What's the energy level like? Is there any concern at all? Like, what's the talk amongst the guys right now, heading down into the last month? We're down less than a month now in the season. I think we have 25 games left to play. You know, you're around the team. Kind of give us a little bit of insight what you've been picking up from them.
Yeah, I think for the most part, most of the time, the feeling and the talk is excitement. I mean, you know, here they are, 137, 38 games into the season, in the postseason. Season ends today. Phillies are playing in the postseason. They control their own destiny. It's what they've worked for since spring training started. It's what this front office built this team to do. And they're in a position to get there. And it's in their control. And that's probably the most important part of it. So, you know, 90% of the conversations in that clubhouse is about, let's get the job done. We're there. Let's finish it off. And that's what they're working to. I can honestly tell you, and I even asked a couple of guys this in San Francisco, there is no panic happening inside that clubhouse. These guys know they are a good baseball team. And although they weren't playing their best baseball at the time, you know, these guys are professionals. 162, as you and I have talked about, is a grind. And no matter what team you are, it's a grind. And you have to go out each and every night, treat it differently, and go out and try and make a victory happen on that particular night. And that's what these guys are doing. It's not going to happen all the time. We've seen the best teams, you know, they'll lose 4 or 5 in a row as well. And you know, that's what the Phillies, what you have to guard against is getting into that mentality like, oh my goodness, we can't win a game. What's happening? And that has not entered this Phillies clubhouse. Not yet. And the idea that it's happened over the last couple of years, I think Rob Thompson pretty much put that one to bed while we were on the West Coast. Where when he was asked that, he said, "Look, you know, I think he called it poppycock." He said, "I don't buy that for a second.
And he's been in the game for 40 years, you know? He said this is a completely different team with a lot of different personnel, with a lot of different people running the squad. You know, it just doesn't translate from year to year as much as we might want to pretend it does. It doesn't. And unless you had the exact same roster, coaching staff, and we're playing the same opponents who are playing just as well, it just doesn't translate. And so the players know to guard against hearing that kind of stuff and letting it manifest into reality. they're just going out and trying to win a baseball game that night. And for the most part, I think they've done a pretty good job of blocking that stuff out.
Speaking of trying to get something manifest itself, I have to do this right now because I'm disappointed by the Phillies faithful. I'm disappointed by the Phillies fan base right now. The turnout at the ballpark these last few nights is not something that I expect to see from a city that claims to be so passionate and so loving of their sports teams. And like you said, this is a different set of players. This is a different set of your front office executives, a different manager than the guy that was here the last couple of years or the guy that was here a couple of years before him. This team deserves to have the backing and the support of its fan base. And I have not seen it. I have not felt it. I know it's the Marlins and I know we're getting to a weekend series against the Nationals, but what is it going to take to get fans back in the stands and pack that house again? Do we need to tease rally towels again? Is that what people need to be able to pack 44,000 people back in that ballpark? It's a disgrace. The fact that we're not getting, like, I know the weather wasn't great on Tuesday. I understand that. But for the love of God, people, this team is exciting. The last couple weeks, not so much, but this team is exciting. They have their destiny in their hands to make it to the playoffs. And even at that point, when we get to the playoffs, keep in mind that first round, you are not going to be able to attend unless you're going on the road to St. Louis or Atlanta or New York. You are not going to have that opportunity. Right now is the time. Get your asses to the ballpark. Get your asses in those seats. And let's make this damn thing happen and get this team the support to push them over the top, to push them over the edge so we can feel Red October for the first time in 11 years. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Words of Tylenol.
Yeah, I hear you to an extent. I think this week, you know, I think you answered your own question with the 3 points that I was going to make. The one thing you didn't mention was this was the first week of school in the Delaware Valley.
Oh, stop. That didn't mean a damn thing those years ago. It didn't mean anything years ago.
You know what? Yes, it did. In 2007, if you look up the attendance for the first week of school, I guarantee you, it was around 20,000. Now, in 2009 and 2010, when they had won a World Series and were headed back to another, and then it didn't matter. But look, it doesn't matter what city you're in. And these are the best fans in sports. And I know you know that. And I know that. Yeah. But it doesn't matter because you have to build up a little bit of bank in order to get the following back. And the Phillies have not done that yet. They're not there yet. So I'm not surprised that this particular week, back to school, crappy weather, bad team coming in, coming off a terrible road trip, that there was not a lot of excitement around the ballpark. Not surprised at all. The 20,000 fans that we had each night, or 18, we had, I think we had 18, 18, 20 kind of thing, they were previously bought tickets, right? There was no walk-up. There's no generated excitement by local sports personalities, because everybody's saying the sky is falling. So why would I go out and spend, my $100 and go down and buy two tickets kind of thing? That will change a couple of reasons. When the weather's nice, a little nicer. I mean, it was crappy the first two nights. We didn't even know if we were going to play. And it'll get when the Braves come, or whoever's coming in, the Toronto Blue Jays, when a better team comes into town, and when the Phillies start creeping towards that magic number of clinching, the crowds will get bigger. They'll get bigger. They'll get bigger. There'll be sellouts when it's clinching time. And that's kind of the way it would play out, I think, in every city except for perhaps Boston and Chicago, who have a built-in fan base because of travel and all of that kind of thing. It's no different anywhere else. Maybe the Mets might be a little bit different this year. Their fans seem to be all in right away. But I'm not really surprised. The fans will be back. And the fans that are here have been great. They've been loud.
The atmosphere has been good here at the ballpark. And I would bet that this National Series, despite it being the Washington Nationals, I think you're going to see over 30 all weekend here. And that's a great crowd in September. So, you know, I don't chastise our fans for that. They'll be here. And when they are here, they'll be great. So that's the way I look at it.
I need more.
Yeah,
I need more.
We always need more.
I need more cowbell, Murph.
I don't need any cowbell. zero on the cowbell.
But. I'm just going with the skit, you know. I'm just trying to ride with Christopher Walken.
And I'm going with the race, and then they had too much cowbell.
Well, no, they did, and Chase Utley shut those cowbells up. Game one of the World Series, 2008. I was sitting row QQ, first baseline, way up there. Couldn't see left field or left center because of the catwalk. That place is a dump, and I can't believe it's still standing 14 years later. But you know what? I can't believe it's still standing. 20 years later, the Green Legion, because nobody does it better than us. And we're going to be in Detroit this weekend. You guys want to make sure, go to greenlegion.com. I believe we still have time for you to sign up for the tailgate package in Detroit. Nobody does it better than us. You want to go there for sure. Chicago, Arizona, Indianapolis, Houston, DC bus trip. I think we have 25 spots left for the DC bus trip on the way down, amongst all the buses that we have going that day. Make sure you guys come out and check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun this season. Call the office at 215-666-5940 or go to the website greenlegion.com. That's 215-666-5940 or greenlegion.com. In our next segment, in our last segment, we're going to do our picks for Friday night's baseball action and some Can You Believe It's and the look at the week ahead right here. Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back right after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
All right, welcome back. Last segment here on Friday evening for Bud Light Baseball Brunch / Happy Hour. Ready to put a bow on this thing and take her out of town right now, as we hope the Phillies are starting off this series against the Nationals with a W on Friday evening, as we're recording on Thursday night, right after that heartbreaking loss against the Fish. Although they did win the series, it still leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and I'm just going to leave it like that. But you know what doesn't leave a bad taste in my mouth? It's the simple fact that I am continuing to own Murph in the picks this year. Murph had a 1-2 week last week with 1 point. He's now 24-30 with 30 points total. I went 2-1 with 2 points, and I'm now 30-24 on the season with 39 points. Heading down the stretch here, the Sack Attack has full control of his own destiny against Murph. So I'm going to give.
So are you worried? Are you worried about that?
My fan base is comfortable right now. My fan base has their feet up in the Barca lounger. They're drinking a nice Captain and Ginger and smoking a cigar right now. You wonder why? Because they know it's over.
Well, okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. Equate those good feelings that your fan base has to the Phillies fan base. I mean, same situation. Complete control of their own destiny.
Okay. So their comfort level is away from the ballpark.
Should be high. Smoking whiskey and drinking cigars, like you said.
Give me your first pick. What are you smoking on this week?
Well, hopefully I'm smoking something good, because these are my picks. Red Sox and Orioles getting together. You know my disdain for the Boston Red Sox. You know how I feel about them.
I couldn't tell.
However, two mediocre pitchers in this game. Look, the Orioles have been a great story for a while in baseball, but they're fading at this point. And the Red Sox are underdogs in this game. Okay, you know, they might lose for sure, but they also have a decent chance of winning. And I'm just looking for a underdog that might, you know, step up and win a game. So I'm going to take the Red Sox plus 120 over the Orioles in that one.
All right, well, I'll stick with that game too. I'm going to take the over 8.5 in Baltimore, even though they seem to move that left field wall back and they raised the wall. The ball still pretty much flies out of Camden Yards. And with those two teams offensively, they can still rake. And 8.5 to me seems to be on the lower side of things. I think we're going to go over that number, 8.5 in Baltimore. That's my first one. Give me your second one.
All right. Well, I don't have an official number on this game yet, but I think we both agree we can be pretty confident that the Phillies-Nationals game, the Phils will be favored in this one. I'm guessing it comes in somewhere around a, a minus 160 situation for the Phils. The Nationals have been playing better baseball. They really have. If you look back over the last 7 to 10 days, the Phils can't take these guys lightly. However, I do think the Phils will come out, win this game. So I'm going to take the Phils as a favorite, win it straight up over the Nationals. And I'm guessing it's about a 160. I don't think it'll be much more than that.
Yeah, just hope it's not over 200 like you did last week with the Yankees, because you didn't get that half point. They lost to the A's.
Yeah, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, half point, no point, it's the same thing. I'm going to stick with the American League East. I'm going to take the Blue Jays in Texas against the Rangers. Minus 155, Ross Stripling is on the mound against Dane Dunning. I'm going to take the Blue Jays over the Texas Rangers. I just think that's a pretty good line right there to take, especially in Texas. So go with the Blue Jays on that one, and your last one for me.
All right, as you know, I like that pick because I dabbled at that one as well, but I made the switch. All right, so my final one, over-under, Braves and Mariners getting together. I think that game's out in Seattle.
Seattle, yeah.
Under-over 7.5. That seems low to me for those two teams. Now, I know they've got good pitching on both sides, but it's Charlie Morton. It's not one of the Braves' super studs going for Atlanta. I think that game goes over. You know, I think that's a 6-3, 6-4 kind of contest. I don't know who will win, but I'm going to take the over 7.5 Braves Mariners.
Okay. And then I'm going to take the Cubs at Wrigley Field, sitting and lying in wait after the Giants were swept in a doubleheader against the Brewers. And yes, I know it's only a 2-hour car ride from Milwaukee down to Chicago, but to play back-to-back games on a Thursday and then have to go and play at Wrigley the very next day, I just think the Cubs are going to be sitting there waiting for them, and they're going to pounce on the Giants, a tired Giants team, after playing 2 days in a row. I'm going to take the Cubs at plus 130. That's my underdog this week. Can you believe it? And I wish we had the sounder. We would normally go alongside with that, but we do not while we're recording. Again, thank you so much to those that love football more than they love Murph and Sack Attack. But, you know, that's just how things go in life. So, Murph, what is your first can you believe it for this week?
Well, you know, a lot happened in the week of baseball this week. But one thing that we talked about an awful lot during our Phillies broadcast was the home run by Christian Yelich. I don't know if
you man. Wow.
It was pretty impressive. The longest home run of the season, 499 feet. Now, it was at Coors Field, of course. They all are going to be at Coors Field. But still, you hit a baseball 500 feet, that's pretty darn impressive. The camera guy couldn't even follow it. So Christian Yelich, 499. Can you believe it? Hard to believe, for sure.
Yeah, Dad just recently retired, and he turned 60. So me and my brother, we were going to take him to Wrigley next year, but Wrigley is at the end of June, which is like peak busy season for me at work, and it's a midweek trip. It just doesn't fit the schedule. So we're talking about taking Dad to Coors Field the second weekend in May next year when the Phillies are there. And we both agreed we want to get tickets down low around the dugout for one of the games. And then the other one, we want to be up there in like the mile high, like bar area that they have up there in right field. That's where Christian Yelich hit it. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and by the way, that's fun up there. I've been up there. So go ahead.
Yeah. After the game, you can come hang out with us. You'll be doing the post game. You can come hang out with us for sure. Mine is about Seattle Mariners starter Luis Castillo. Struck out the first 7 batters he faced the other day, becoming just the 9th pitcher to do so since 1900. What a pickup he's been for the Mariners. They're set and primed. They're going to break that 21-year drought with not making the playoffs.
Yeah, which means the Phillies would have the longest drought unless they also break that postseason drought, which they're going to. So it'll be 2 other teams. I don't know who the 2 next in line. Nor do I care, as long as we get off that list. That's
optimism, Murph. Optimism.
Nothing but me. I'm an optimist by trade. So, all right. Finally, for me, how about this? Highest average with runners in scoring position this season. Okay? Highest average runners in scoring position this season. The first name on the list is a guy that wasn't even in the league last year. Michael Harris, the second, batting .406.
Him and Strider. Him and Strider, man.
That's unbelievable.
They're set up forever. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. The Atlanta Braves, they do a nice job with their young players. Eloy Jimenez, 395 for the White Sox. Jake McCarthy, Freddie Freeman, Jock Peterson, the top five in that list. But Michael Harris, it's crazy. Yeah. And you mentioned Strider, too. He's ridiculous.
Well, he also became the first Atlanta Brave to strike out 16 batters in the game, and they took his jersey and they put it in the Hall of Fame. That's not my Can You Believe It, though. It is the mustache. Most consecutive winning seasons across four major North American sports leagues, the New York Yankees from 1993 to 2022 have done it 30 consecutive years. There's only two teams in the history of sports that have done it more than that. The Montreal Canadiens from 1951 to 1983, 32 consecutive winning seasons. And then the 1926 to 1964 New York Yankees, 39 consecutive winning seasons. That's just insane to think about. We're not privy to that here in Philadelphia. It's, you know, you win and then you suck. It's just how it goes, but we'll take what you can get for sure. Now, the upcoming week, Murph, we start a series tonight against the Washington Nationals with 3-game set at home. Off on Monday, then we hit the road. We got 3 in Miami, and then, you know, we'll have another broadcast on next Friday night as we start up a series in Atlanta. But these 6 games against the teams that they've been doing so well against, they need to continue to do well. 4-2 at minimum, they have to come out of these next 6 games. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The starting pitching needs to find itself. We need to get Sir Anthony Dominguez back and reformulate that bullpen to where it was prior to his injury. And the offense, the big bats at the top of the lineup, they got to get going.
Yeah, they got to get healthy. I do think that's a huge part. They need Zach Wheeler back. They need Sir Anthony back. They need Nick Castellanos back. I mean, you're talking about 3 guys coming into this season that you said to yourself, these are 3 of our horses. We are going to rely on these 3 guys to help us get wins. None of them are playing right now. Zach Eflin, add him to the list. So they need to get healthy. And then, yeah, they need to play a little bit better. You know, start finding just a small way for you to be better that night kind of thing, each player. And that adds up to an awful lot when it's all said and done. That's where they need to be. I have no doubt. I mean this. I have no doubt that this team will do just that. They're as we talked about, there's no panic in this team right now. They have their eyes on the prize, and they understand what they need to do. They really just need to play a little bit better than 500 baseball, and they're going to go to the postseason. And I think they'll play better than that going down the stretch. So,
sounds great. Well, Murph, on your way out of the ballpark, make sure you turn off the lights.
That's my job.
I appreciate you, partner, for you know, doing this tonight after the game. I know you're tired. I know I'm tired. I know Sam wants to play more bocce somewhere along the line. So let's wrap this up and put a nice bow on it for this week. And hopefully we'll have a great week of Phillies baseball coming up. For Greg Murphy, for Super Sam Brady, and Kyle / Nunnemaker for cutting this up on Friday and putting it in the system, I'm Chris Sack. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Phillies, let's go. Red October, we need it right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Sayonara, everybody.